Morning. Joining us now in studio is Northfield's City Administrator, Ben Martick.
Good morning.
How are you doing today, Ben?
Great. How are you, Jeff?
Good. Thanks for coming in. Had a City Council work session last night, and it was all about the strategic plan and talking about discussing some different elements of that strategic plan and where you're going. And let's start off with, the first item on the agenda, the strategic plan on how it relates to affordable housing. Were there specific topics you were talking about within the affordable housing title, I guess, headline?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. So we did do a deeper dive, I guess, into some of the areas of our strategic plan, and the housing was the first one up, I guess. And so this is obviously an important issue for the community, and the Housing and Redevelopment Authority has been working on a new housing project in the Southbridge subdivision. So they own about 11 acres in this area, and they've been evaluating for development for about the last 18 months on this expansion, basically, of Spring Creek Townhome. So the original Spring Creek Townhomes, which are, you know, award-winning, really nice affordable housing project, is 28 units developed in 2013. And they're looking to add 32 additional workforce housing units adjacent to those existing units. With that, they're looking at kind of a partnership with a nonprofit developer of Three Rivers Community Action Agency. So we've been partnering with them. They helped present last evening along with our housing coordinator and our community development director. So kind of went through the project update and development plans that they're looking at.
Now, these townhomes, are they for sale? Are they for rent? Where do they land in that spectrum?
Yeah, so there are income limits on this particular townhome project. They're rental units.
Okay.
They've really had they've been extremely successful. They said, actually, since it's been open, there's been a 100-person waiting list. So they basically had zero occupancy during the time period other than when they had transitions of people coming in and out of it. So there are income limitations kind of based on federal guidelines that we have. To give you a general idea, most of the units are three-bedroom that they're looking at, family-type workforce kind of housing that we have available. So roughly a family of four, about $45,000. So, you know, a couple parents and two kids. That would be about the income that you would be looking at with that. And rents range probably somewhere around $600 to $1,000 a month, ranging from the one-bedroom to a three-bedroom unit. So, you know, as you look at that kind of, you know, as a one-person household income earning, that could be kind of a starting type of an annual salary for mm-hmm. maybe like a teacher or something in town. So these are like working people, retail trades. It's important housing for workforce that we have, and really these with the cost of infrastructure challenges that we have, and people's income availability, and then what the developer needs, some kind of a profit margin, although when you do with the nonprofit, that kind of gets shrunk down to just the carrying cost of the project. But it's really complicated to get these projects to work, so they also have kind of a complex financing package they're working on.
Yeah, I would think so. Affordable housing, really, housing is really getting away from the affordability level in general due to a lot of different market forces and such. But now, when you say the rent available from, you know, 600 to 1,000 or whatever those numbers might be, is that what is that? Who pays the rest? Is that subsidized by the government, by the city, by the county, by the state? Is that just money that is not received? What are the economics behind that?
That's a great question, and I think maybe a follow-up detail question for the community development director to get into this a little bit more. But, you know, I think I believe that they look to kind of cash flow the project, and then some of the sources that they have to help buy down that cost on the front end is they're looking at a tax increment financing district mm-hmm. for that, for affordable housing. So basically how that works is like once it's built, the taxes are paid and they kind of get a rebate back. It works kind of like that, not exactly, but for a number of years that would be available. So that helps reduce some of the cost related to it, and certain housing projects are eligible if you meet income requirements on that. Mm-hmm. The HRA is looking at using some dollars to decrease the cost of the building permit fees that we have, so they're looking at some $20,000 cash on that. They're looking at providing the land for the property at no cost to allow that to happen, valued at about $180,000. And then they're applying for some tax credits for the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, which is a critical component that they have. They talked last night about how important it is to get points and how competitive it is. And apparently back in 2009, when the first phase went through, we were actually one slot away from getting awarded, and the first project fell through, which opened up the opportunity for this one to occur. So those units that we had back then potentially wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for, you know, the application that we got in the housing tax credits through the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. So anyway, so there's a lot of things that still have to align on the project as they look at the development. So there's some deadlines coming up this year, but they could be starting construction yet in 2019 if this all comes together. So a lot of moving parts, and mm-hmm. it takes a lot of time to put the pieces together. But 2018 in the coming months ahead are going to be critical to the success of this project or not.
All right. Once again, Ben Martig, City Administrator, is with us from Northfield. Let's talk about item number two on the strategic plan, and last night's work session was conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion and strategic initiatives for that. Well, it's kind of vague. Where do you go to with this? Is this in reference to what? And could you kind of boil that down a little bit for us?
I think it's kind of one of the things that we've been looking at with our diversity issues. We want to be a welcoming community, and you know, because a number of reasons. One, it's the right thing to do, and we want to treat people fairly in the process. We want to make sure that we're serving people appropriately, equitably throughout our different city services. So that's part of the piece of it. We mm-hmm. also know that we're continuing to see with population changes, the world's becoming more diverse even here. And if we want to be competitive from a workforce standpoint, to have strong economies, we're going to need to continue to see our communities change in its diversity. And we want to be a community that's mobile to be able to change with that changing diversity too, and welcome, be a welcoming community. So we've been participating in a Government Alliance for Race and Equity program. It's a training with the National Organization and the League of Minnesota Cities, along with about 30 other cities participating in that, learning about how inequities exist potentially in our policies that we have and what we can do to identify those, including like implicit biases that we might have within ourselves. We all carry with ourselves, based on our past experiences, certain biases that we have, and you're not even always conscious of that. So we went through kind of some of the training with the council of what we've learned to this point. We're going to be implementing a racial equity action plan in the coming year. What that might mean practically, too, is just having some goals, outcome goals, of, for example, to have our city employment better reflect the diversity of our community. So people of color in our community make up about 10% roughly of our population, and we are probably more in the 1% or 2% rate as far as our city employment goes. So what can we do to move the needle on that, to remain competitive, to get good people in the future? Same thing in our leadership positions, mayor and council are elected positions, but on the appointed side we have, you know, over 130, I think, board and commission members that we have that are appointed. How do we get people in leadership roles that maybe aren't in our typical populations to get involved and active in that, so that we can get different perspectives to bring to the table? So that's kind of part of it, explaining some of those issues and how it relates to our city work, or some of the discussions we had last night. We had a combination training from our city staff that's been doing it. Our leadership team has been working on that, some of our upper management. We also have other employees that are engaged in, as well as a board member. So we're going to be working on some tools to be able to look like when we're doing budget requests, how are we being fair and equitable across mm-hmm. the city, where our investments are going, those types of things. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have more on that. It's going to be coming back up to the council at some point in the future, so we'll talk more about that then. But I do want to talk about the riverfront enhancement. That was part of the economic development portion of the strategic plan discussed last night. Now, what riverfront enhancement were you passing around ideas last night? Have there been ideas come forward? Where are we at there?
Well, we kind of did a combination of some practical ideas and then looking on the horizon, some processes where we would see how we are suggesting as a staff to maybe approach some planning on that item. So really on the riverfront expansion plan, the concept is to enhance the Cannon River as an asset, as a unique sense of place, to strengthen our downtown retail and to bring more visitors to the community, just to help make our economy stronger. So continuing to look at opportunities of how might some of our park systems attract some of that, the Riverwalk. Is there anything we can do from a business standpoint to encourage orienting maybe a little bit more to the river so that we have not only the downtown division side of things, but also kind of on the other side facing the river? We've seen some of that with the restaurants that we have, obviously, that people just love and take advantage of, that really draws people. So some of the practical examples of what we're looking at, too, is like the river right now is designated as a wild and scenic river, so it's actually a very good kind of canoeing, kayaking river. But we haven't really developed that concept from a tourism standpoint to really go after that type of a market. So that's one area we've been looking at, is starting as small as saying, how do we dedicate some river access points? So we looked at a couple of potential places and some funding with the DNR to maybe provide river access upriver and downriver from the dam, because obviously you're not going over the dam. So you want safe mm-hmm. places for people to take out upriver of that and downriver, and also that it's accessible to our downtown, because people coming through, whether you're biking, trying to do the regional biking idea or the river trail idea, we're a destination because of our unique sense of place here and the character of our downtown as a community. So Northfield's definitely a destination. So how do we enhance on that? Also, some of the other things we looked at, we're continuing to look at a trail connection on the west side of the river, looking at an extension of the Riverwalk, kind of a trail that would go that's been looked at in the past by the community, kind of on the backside of where the hotel's going and the condos, and be able to cut through. So we are exploring, could we get a link there on the trail to provide some funding? We think there would be a real benefit for those coming here to stay in our hotel if they had a direct access to that Riverwalk, rather than having to cross the highway to be able to potentially go under the river. So we're looking to say, is there any way to do an under bridge, a connection of that trail to connect in with the Riverwalk? So there's a lot of engineering questions and things into that, but we wanted the council to know we're exploring that issue for their awareness and to get any reactions that they might have on those. So those are a couple of practical ideas. We also, longer term, talked about, we have an open space parks plan, open space plan, that's going to be getting reviewed and updated for the city, so comprehensively across the city looking at that. So we also said, as a part of that, we'll be looking a little bit at the linear park system in the river, but what we think it could lead into is some master planning of Ames Park, Babcock Park, maybe Riverside Park a little bit, to say some of those haven't been really master planned much, to say what's our future of that, how does that relate to the river, and can we do some designing that really has that theme around it, so that we can create an active and vibrant use of the river with some of these ideas. But we would need some consulting dollars to be able to do that, so we're kind of looking at that with the 2019 budget process coming around the corner. So those are a few of the ideas we ran by them, as well as maybe a few others, but kind of had some open discussions about that.
A lot of good ideas there. Talking about the ideas is one thing, but acting upon them, probably you need things to happen to really start acting upon these, whether it be a development or maybe some different opportunities for the city. Do you have any idea when, it's all just kind of ideas floating out there in the air right now. When will the rubber hit the road?
Well, I think that's why we're trying to take kind of multiple approach to this, Jeff. When I talked about that long-term master planning, that's obviously something that's not going to immediately lead to some actions, but it would set the stage down the mm-hmm. road. I think the river access takeout points are some real practical things, aren't real big dollars. Some people already are naturally taking out at some points. So we can get that done reasonably and expensively with the partnership of the DNR with some programs. They just don't have their funding opening up until 2019. So we think that's reality. So we wanted to start working on the locations. We get an agreement on that so that when we come in with some funding, we can get that going and actually get that completed. The trail connection is expensive, but and it is going to have some cost to it, but I think it could really generate some returns. So that's one we can work on. We have been doing some other incremental things, even with just managing the river as it relates to, the managing the stormwater of the mm-hmm. river. So we have raised our electrical units in the downtown so that when you have flooding to deal with that. We're looking at a river wall extension, potentially a study to be done. on the west side of the river to extend from the Froggy Bottoms going over so that those businesses are protected, which the better we have that protected for when the river does rise, those investments will be, you know, will be made and better protected so that the private mm-hmm. can invest in things and have certainty that they won't have these other concerns down the road. So I think we are taking some multiple approaches to it, and we're certainly open to those incremental, smaller ideas, too, because, like you said, they can lead to the bigger issues.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right.
All right.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming in.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks,
it, Jeff. And we'll talk to you again next week. Northfield City Administrator Ben Martig. You're listening to 95.1 FM.